from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We have a series and a half starting in downtown Cleveland as the Guardians getting ready to take on the Kansas City Royals for 4 games in 3 days, doubleheader today, and it's a 3-game lead right now in the division. This has been way too much fun. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's with Fangraphs. He's Mr. Michael Bauman. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
Thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
If it were April and we had told you your Cleveland Guardians will be on August 26th in first place with a 3-game lead in the division, you would have said what?
I would have thanked you for warning me not to take the Detroit Tigers to win the division, which is what I actually did back in April. So next time you have access to time travel, please come get me.
Where did you think the Guardians were going to finish this year?
I thought they were going to be in the mix, maybe second, third, probably around 500. I think a lot of the questions that I had about this team in terms of depth of lineup and depth of starting pitching, and what happens if one or two guys go on the IL, I think those ended up being valid questions, but the parts of this team that have been good have been really good, and the division has been very winnable as usual. So, full credit to them for, getting the most out of their roster.
All right, if you're the Guardians, are you looking at the next 10 games as the season? I mean, here's your chance where you can really make some hay. You've got Kansas City 7 on the next 10, and you only see Minnesota 4 more times for the rest of the year. So is this it? We should be locked in right now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, this is the fun part of the pennant race, is when you get teams these are de facto playoff games right now, maybe less so for Cleveland than for Kansas City, just because they come in with that 3-game lead in the division. But the Royals had been red hot, and then, they got dog walked by a good Phillies team the last 2 games. And, they've got a lot of, this is, I think the Royals and the Guardians are two very similar teams in terms of the way they're constructed and the way they rely on their top hitters. You just look at this, and I don't think either team is going to win all 7 games, but if that happens, this division race could be all but over for one of those two teams. You just have to hold serve, basically.
As you look at what happened going up to the trade deadline and moves that were made, the Guardians went out and picked up Alex Cobb, who's injured right now with a fingernail issue, but kind of, he was an under-the-radar guy because he hadn't pitched all year. And they signed Matthew Boyd, coming off Tommy John, after watching him in his little audition for other teams, and then brought him along through the minor leagues. How did they do in trying to pick up some extra pitching for this team?
I liked the Cobb acquisition. I remember writing it up on deadline day. It's kind of a little bit of a low upside play, just given his age, but they didn't give up barely anything to get him, so it's sort of a free hit. The same thing with Boyd, and Boyd's been pretty solid in his limited action so far. The one deal they made that I thought they gave up a little bit too much to get Lane Thomas, but I did not expect his bat to disappear the way that it has. So that's the one move that I might have second guessed them on, but as far as pitching goes, I think they you always want to see a team take a bigger swing, but maybe that move isn't out there. But, you know, I think they got some value for not giving up a whole lot.
I look at this Matthew Boyd deal, and over the last three starts, this has been like, Jeff, my partner's been talking about it here for a while, but I don't know if it was a needle in a haystack, but man, he's done some great things for this team in his three starts.
He's been one of those guys who's, when it's on, it's on, and it's just been a matter of staying healthy. You know, I think you want to see maybe a little bit more. You know, he was a big strikeout guy during his best years with Detroit. Maybe you want to see a little bit more of that, but at this point, they don't ask how, they ask how many, and, you know, just giving them three, decent starts is pretty much all you can ask for a pitcher who's acquired in that fashion.
Michael, did it surprise you at all, the moves they've made over the last year or so, trading Aaron Civale, who, whatever you say about Aaron, he's a guy that you can give the ball to every fifth day, and then DFAing Cal Quantrill and ending up trading him as a result to Colorado after getting rid of Zach Plesac, who hasn't done anything since he's left here. But it was weird to me to see this organization give up on three young pitchers, and who had actually had some success with the organization, and in an organization that is known for being able to make pitchers work and make it happen for them. It surprised me a little bit.
Well, the last point you made, I think, is actually why I had the opposite reaction. This one of this organization's core competencies is being able to develop pitching and sort of do what they did with lower versions of Shane Bieber, or Tanner Bibee's a great example of this, is get guys who are like college strike throwers and turn them into quality mid rotation, sometimes even better big league starters. And when you can bring those guys through, Cal Quantrill was fine for an innings eater, but that was a place where I think that it's not being too harsh on Quantrill to say that the Guardians could have done better out of that spot in the rotation. And, you try to sell high on guys who you have developed and then just bring the next generation through. And that's sort of what they've been doing for going on a decade now. So it didn't surprise me that much to see them make room for the next generation. It's just been a little slower in coming than maybe I anticipated.
Steven Vogt, I mean, these next 10 games maybe determine whether he's manager of the year in the American League, or has he already got it wrapped up? What do you think?
Who knows with manager of the year? I think based on how that award usually gets awarded, which, is like surprising team, a team that made the playoffs with defying expectations, if I had a vote, he'd probably have it in the bag already. I was skeptical of hiring somebody that young with that little experience, and, he's... Yeah, I've interviewed him a few times as a player. He was always a very nice guy, very smart guy. His teammates in Oakland really sang his praises. I didn't think I thought that he would be a good manager someday, but that just level of experience scared me a little bit, and he's done an incredible job there. I think as long as they make the playoffs, that's probably his award to lose at this point.
Michael Bauman joining us from Fangraphs.com. It's been kind of strange for us to watch musical chairs at a number of positions on this team, center field clearly one of those. If you're the Guardians, how patient are you with the guy you mentioned earlier, Lane Thomas, who obviously hasn't hit since he's been here, but has a track record for hitting, as opposed to playing Daniel Schneeman, Tyler Freeman, a couple of utility guys who have been effective, but not overly productive in their roles?
Yeah, I think that's the key there, is who you're going to get at this point that's better than him. I think it's more likely that Thomas hits his way out of the slump than one of those other guys goes out there and is a better than average big league hitter. Maybe this is a situation where you shelter Thomas against righties a little bit, give Schneeman a little bit more playing time against right-handed starters. But you gave up a lot. Not you personally, but the Guardians gave up a lot to get Thomas at the deadline. And part of that was that extra year of team control. And so this is a guy that, they've really got to put their money where their mouth is. Like, this is their guy. So I think that you got to keep playing him. I've seen acquisitions like this. I think of Carlos Gomez, Carlos Gomez to Houston trade back in 2015, seen it go bad in ways like this, but, that's the bet they made. And so, I think a month's worth of games is too early to completely bail on it right now.
John Kenzie Noel is a smoke on the baseball right now. He's been terrific since they decided to start playing him again. He was kind of the victim of Lane Thomas coming in and getting those at-bats that were going to Noel. It's interesting to me because he's not typical of the kind of guys they seem to like, I guess, in the organization too often, because he's got some swing and miss. But, man, he has some power. And after giving up on Will Benson and Nolan Jones, I think it's interesting that they've kind of given him the opportunity for the last couple of weeks. It has to continue, doesn't it, Michael?
I am planning on writing about him maybe tomorrow, definitely sometime this week, because I was, you know, just looking through the Guardians roster. And I look, one thing that I look for with young power hitters, particularly those with swing and miss, is how much they pull the ball in the air, because that's a big thing. It doesn't, you know, it's nice to hit the ball hard anywhere, but if you can pull the ball, hit the ball hard in the air to the pole side, that's what leads to extra base hits and home runs, particularly for a guy like Noel, where there's not a whole lot of, you know, other secondary skills in terms of defense or walk rate. You know, he's going to live and die with his power, and I've been pretty encouraged by where he's hitting the ball, not just how hard he is. And in terms of hitting development, you mentioned them not liking this kind of guy. I think the Guardians have been a little bit behind the times in terms of seeking out hitters like this. Like, this is the pull side in the air power is where smart teams are going. You know, the Rays have made their entire lineup basically out of these guys. You know, that's where they're trying to find bargains on the hitting side. And you know, it's nice if you get guys who never strike out, but you know, guys like Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez are special for a reason. And eventually you need to just fill out the lineup with guys who can do damage. And Noel has been really, really impressive in a short major league cameo.
All right, if you're the Guardians, this might be an easy question, but are you more worried about the Royals or are you more worried about the Twins?
I think, or yourself?
Yeah.
You know, I think these teams are very closely matched. I think the Royals' rotation is a little scary, but at the same time, it's not really tested in the playoffs. So, you know, like Cole Reagans, I think, is probably the best pitcher out of anybody in this divisional race. Seth Lugo's been incredible, but, you know, that bullpen's been pretty weak. And while Bobby Witt Jr. really counts as two superstars at this point in your lineup, the lineup thins out pretty fast after him. I think if the Twins, you know, get a healthy Byron Buxton back, get a healthy Carlos Correa back, that makes them a really dangerous team as well, but we've seen how big an if that is over the past couple of seasons, getting those two guys in the lineup at the same time. So I think, you know, in terms of which team I'm more worried about, I'd say probably the Royals, but it's close, and if the Twins get a couple guys back, then, you know, that calculus changes entirely.
Does our team hang on? What do you think?
I think so. I think so one thing that I'd say, all three of these teams make the playoffs. I just think the way that the AL's playoff picture as a whole is shaping out right now. I think all three of these teams will make the playoffs in some combination, but the division is important for Cleveland for a couple reasons. One, they played really well at home versus on the road, so getting that first series at home. And if they can get into the number two spot, they avoid the Orioles in the second round in addition to getting the bye. So I think that's winning the division is going to be important. And I think that I think these teams are pretty closely matched. So just give me the team that's already got a head start. That's my outlook on it right now.
Michael, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
Michael Baumann, fangraphs.com. Go read Michael's work. He does an outstanding job, as we just heard, breaking down everything going on in Major League Baseball. Michael Baumann, Fangraphs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
.com. Yes. Cutdown's coming up in, well, the deadline is 26 hours and some odd minutes away.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Stopwatch.
Thank you very much. What would surprise you that the Browns could do here?
Two quarterbacks. That's the first thing I would say. If they only kept two, that would be a shocker. That would be the biggest surprise.
To me, the area of biggest surprise would be at quarterback. How about you? 216-474-0092. Biggest surprise would be a quarterback. I think the biggest surprise, and this, I don't see this happening, if they did something with Jameis Winston, thinking that Tyler Huntley or DTR would be your backup and the other guy would be your third string.
We learned our lesson last year on that, I think, didn't we?
I would think Jameis is here for the season. He's not going anywhere. He's the guy, despite the fact that he might be attractive to some other teams. You know, if you're another team, maybe you make a phone call. If somebody were to get hurt early in the season, you know, who knows, whatever. I would stun me if anything happened with Jameis. I don't expect anything there. It would also stun me if they don't keep DTR or Tyler Huntley.
All right, will they have to release a quarterback or will they be able to make a trade?
I think that they'll be able to make a trade, but I don't think you're going to get much. Let's say you trade Tyler Huntley. What are you going to get, a six?
Six, yeah. Can you get a – would you feel okay if you got a fifth for Dorian Thompson-Robinson? Considering that's what you did.
No. Yeah. I would rather keep him and try to develop him, Andy. I really would. I think that's the best way to go. You know, if you look at teams around the league that might need another quarterback, Arizona just – Desmond Ridder just got hurt. Now, they brought in Desmond Ridder. He's got a concussion. Kyler Murray's the starter. Would Tyler Huntley be a great fit behind Kyler Murray? Yeah, I think he kind of would.
Yeah.
I think that's...
So what does that mean you're going to get for him, though?
Maybe a fifth. And I think a team would have to not be desperate, but really want him to even give up a fifth-round pick. It's just that you signed him... He was out there for a long time. Nobody brought him in. And so I don't think his value suddenly goes through the roof because he played well in the preseason for you.
2 years in a row.
If Desmond Ridder isn't able to go, Clayton Tune's the next guy up in Arizona. You know, if the concussion is a serious thing, more serious than the run-of-the-mill concussion, we know they're all different and that things can be bad. I wonder if Arizona might have an interest. Would Chicago have an interest behind Caleb Williams? I don't think so. Tyson Badgett is their main backup right now. Detroit, okay. They have Hendon Hooker, who they're trying to develop. I would think that they think they're okay. I wonder, behind Jordan Love in Green Bay, would Tyler Huntley be an upgrade over Sean Clifford? You know, if you take a look around the league at backup quarterbacks, you can tell the teams that made an investment there and the other teams that are keeping their fingers crossed. And that's where I think the Browns fall into a pretty good situation, because I think they made an investment there that should hopefully not have to pay off for them. But if it does, I think Jameis is better than most.
I'm wondering if they, you know, they made a trade. Was it 2 days? Yesterday. Yeah, it feels like it was forever.
Trading Chris Williams to Chicago?
For a six-round pick.
Yeah, that was done on Saturday.
Yeah, so my days are off. I'm wondering if they...
And they included a seventh.
Here's my question. Do you think they went out and got a six to sweeten the pot on trying to make another trade for an offensive lineman? Why would you...
No.
You know, if you felt like you had a little bit of an abundance at defensive tackle by making that deal, or maybe you just thought you want to give him a chance to go play somewhere else. That's the question there. And then the other point of it is, do you feel like your secondary, that you have a ton of talent there and that you might be able to move somebody there and maybe with that sixth round pick or something and pick up an offensive lineman from somebody who,
why are you going to pick up an offensive lineman when you have 10 or 11 that we think they should keep?
Because you think you can upgrade, because that's your job, is to make sure that you're upgrading. And if you could find another guy that you could bring in on the offensive
tackle?
Well, maybe. Depending on how you feel about Jed Wills coming into this thing. Even though I know you want to move Juwan Jones up, your job is not to care about feelings here. It's to bring the absolute best players. And who knows? They may have somebody on their radar that they're maybe hoping gets released or cut. I understand the chemistry part of it, you might be thinking, or somebody else might be thinking. But if you feel like you have an abundance of defensive backs, because, they do have an impressive list of guys that can play defensive back, especially if Denzel is coming back and Denzel feels good about playing, because we've been questioning that for the last week or two. That maybe you have an abundance there. Where else would you go? Would you want to pick up another wide receiver? I know we're not talking about making a move on the offensive line, but if you're going to make a trade, like, today's the day to do it.
There are three spots to me that usually scream, we have depth and we're keeping it. Offensive line, defensive line, defensive back. You know, you can go find a running back somewhere. I hate to say that, but you can go get a running back. You can get a guy who can maybe run some pass patterns for you, not play it at an elite level there at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But I think if you needed to find a wide receiver, you could probably find one. And linebacker, you can go find a linebacker. But on both of those lines in the defensive backfield, I think this team has shown that they collect talent and they keep talent. And your offensive line thought is interesting. I think they're happy enough with the guys they have that I can't see them going out and trading for an offensive lineman.
What about a running back?
I don't think they need to do that. John Kelly's going to get cut in Baltimore. Bring him back.
There is going to yeah. There is someone who's going to be cut who's going to be better than someone we have on our roster, and they're going to have to make a decision on if they want to bring somebody else in.
You mean the offensive line?
Someone. Like, if they don't have somebody out there that gets released that they don't think is better than what they have right now at some point, then...
Are you talking offensive line in particular?
No, I'm just talking... Yeah, basically, I am talking about it because I'm scared of the depth there, even though we think, you know... Jack hasn't played it at all, and now he's, you know, we heard this morning that he's coming back, Jack Conklin, that, okay, but do you feel 100% about him coming back being the best right tackle they could possibly have on this roster? I don't know. You know, everyone wants to push Juwan Jones up a little bit faster, and the other part of it is Conklin going to move over to the left side? Is that something you really want to do, or would you rather bring in another left tackle? If you feel like you have an abundance on one side and you're going to have to make cuts anyway – to get somebody who's going to be good, though, to make a team want to make a move with you before the cut line, before they tomorrow, 4 o'clock tomorrow, you're going to have to give something up. And I think they have enough defensive backs that if they wanted to give somebody up on the defensive back side of thing, they could.
Am I the only guy who just thinks Juwan Jones should play left tackle and call it a day? Make him your left tackle.
I think a year ago that felt that way, didn't it?
It did.
During the season. Not in the beginning of the season.
I'm a little surprised that he didn't take some reps over on that left side in camp. And that he mentioned last week, yeah, I've not really played there in a long time. I just think that's interesting. Makes me think that they easily think that Jack Conklin could move to the left side if they needed to. The thing that I would find the most, I would find this stunning, Andy. Let's just say Jed Wills is good to go and he's coming off the injured list.
Okay.
And Conklin already is, and he's going to practice tomorrow. Jed not practicing tomorrow.
But is coming off the PUP.
You know what would surprise me?
Huh.
If the season starts and Juwan Jones is on the bench. That would surprise me. He showed enough last year, I think. He should just be starting.
And and Jed should not be.
No, I didn't say that.
Who are you pulling out?
Well, that's I'm not sure.
You can say that all you want, but you got to pull one of the five guys out.
I would think it would be Jed. But you could make the argument that it should be Jack because of his injury history, and you make him a swing tackle, and you actually play three tackles at times. And that doesn't happen very often. I just move Conklin to left. Okay, that wouldn't stun me. Move Jedrick Wills to the right side. There'd be no reason to swap those two tackles. The thing that would stun me the most is if it would just be weird to me. It's like DeJuan Jones on the bench. Really? He played pretty dang well last year when finally given the opportunity, and I think could become a really big time tackle in the league, either on the left or the right side, either one.
Well, we're about to find out in the next 24 hours what they really think. And knowing what Kevin said yesterday, or earlier today, sorry, about Jack, it seems to me like Jack is in his spot and ready to go at right tackle. That was the feeling you got listening to Kevin this morning. So if you're, it's Jed, and what's going to happen there? And if he's not practicing, then there's a question mark. And is it Jack moving over? And then DeWad moves up. Easy.
Easy?
If you don't make a move, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it?
Kinda.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.